This morning, I would like to talk about the subject of building in another's life. The theme of the conference has been presenting every man perfect or mature in Christ Jesus. God has a plan. God has a purpose. And it dates way back to Genesis 1 when he created men in his image, a man and a woman, I should say, man in his image, in perfect fellowship with him, the type of life that brings glory to his name. Sin came, marred the image, broke the fellowship, dishonored God. And the whole story of the Bible tells how God, through Jesus Christ, is restoring his original purpose and even making it more wonderful. And so last night we were talking along the lines of Colossians 1:28, warning everyone we meet, bringing men back to God, the ministry of reconciliation, restoring men to friendship with God. That's what reconciliation means. That these sinners can be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Those who were his enemies can now become his most intimate friend. Warning everyone we meet. And then the second part of the verse, teaching everyone we can, that we may present every man perfect or mature, or bring every man to his full maturity in Christ. God is not only interested in saving men, but in bringing them to their full maturity in Christ, that Jesus Christ can be reflected from their image, from out of their personality. Ephesians 4, 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect or mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And so when we go into this subject of building in lives, we're talking about a goal, that Jesus Christ is magnified in this life, that the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ is reflected in this man, that he is showing forth the virtues of Jesus Christ. And it's important, I believe, we were just chatting with a fellow last night about this, it's important for us to realize that God is a God of variety. That the goal is to see Christ magnified in this man's life. But remember, every man has a different personality. And you've got a diamond. And as the light reflects certain sides of this diamond, or hits certain sides of this diamond, reflects different colors. And so as the light of Christ shines into your life, there will maybe be a somewhat different expression of Jesus Christ, but the same virtue, the same love, the same faith, the same meekness, the same temper. The Lord is a God of variety. And when he creates snow, every flake is different. No two under a microscope have been found alike. And every one of us is different. We have a different fingerprint. We have a different set of teeth. No two are the same. Your hair under a microscope is different than any other human being who's ever lived. And you're very unique There's only one who's ever been like you. You realize that? Though we all have about the same number of square inches on our face, everyone is different. And some may consider that God has done a work of beauty, and others may consider it's a work of humor. But I think God must have a very good sense of humor, don't you? But we're different. And I think it's very important when we, these are introductory remarks to what I want to say later on. I think it's very important for us to realize that every man is different and we cannot pour everyone in the same mold. God gives us different gifts. He's placed us in a different part of His body to perform perhaps somewhat of a different function. And there are different stages in our growth and development. And so, when we talk about building in people's lives, it's not as simple. It's not as simple an A, B, C little deal that we can just write out and put everybody through the motions. But it means that you have to be in communion with God. You have to be getting your instructions from God. There are certain basics in the Christian life, but they may be applied somewhat differently with different individuals. Same basics. We have to ask ourselves questions like this. Where are they in their spiritual growth and development? Where am I? What do I have that I can give them? And then, in this matter of building, we have to remember that God is the one who does the building through us. We are laborers together with God. Just as we need the touch of the Creator in evangelism to bring someone to life, so we need the touch of the Creator in growth. For only He can give growth. And we're merely vessels through which He works. I'd like you to turn to Philippians chapter 3. This process of growth and building that we're talking about is something that begins from the moment one is born again to the time that he sees Jesus face to face. The Bible says ye are complete in him. And a baby, as a baby is born, he's complete. But he needs to be developed. And each one of us are in a process of being developed by the Spirit of God in Christ's likeness. Paul did not feel he had arrived. He says in Philippians 3, not as though I had already attained, speaking of the perfection of Jesus Christ, the resurrected Christ, neither were already perfect, but I follow after, if I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. I'm reaching forth. I press toward the mark, the fullness of the stature of Christ, but I haven't reached it. When does he reach it? in verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the glorious hope of the Christian is not only to see Jesus, but in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, to be changed exactly like him. And from now until that moment, I am to grow and develop in his likeness. Now, having said these things, perhaps more in review than in anything else, I would like to spend the remainder of the time sharing with you some practical things that I've observed or experienced, or which I feel the Lord has used through other men in my life. They may be not in a perfect outline form, but I believe that perhaps it is more profitable to share some experiences than it is theory. I've just mentioned some of these things in theory, in introduction, so that we can realize what the goal is, the fullness of the stature of Christ. Who does it? God working apart from you, in you, to others, and using other people as well. That this is not something that happens overnight, but this is a slow, gradual process that continues until Jesus comes. And none of us can say that we have arrived until we see him face to face. None of us can say that we have the same love in its magnitude that Jesus has or had when he was here, or the same faith, or the same humility, the same compassion, meekness, patience, long-suffering. We've got a long way to go. And I would like to just say, there was a time in my life when I thought that I had pretty much the answers, and I had maybe not arrived, quite arrived, but you know, I was in that arriving state. I was just around the corner, you know. You know why I felt that way? Because I knew so little of Jesus Christ. But now that I've come to know him a little more, I realize there's so much that he must do in my life. And so as I look to him, I see there's a long way to go. And when I look back, I see by his grace, he has faithfully ministered and given growth over the years. Having said this, I think we all are familiar with 2 Timothy 2:2. Man to man, one man ministering to another man. And I would like to introduce this with sharing with you different relationships that I've had with different men in ministry. Sometimes we use this term man to man, and everybody has something different in his mind when he says, I'm helping somebody man to man. Or, this is my man. Of course, I think that just to strain at a gnat here for a moment, this is the Lord's man. But what do we mean when we say man to man? Well, I would like to use this term very generally this morning, and to point out different types of man to man relationships. that I have had. Yesterday we talked about the servant of God and my relationship should be constant. I should be a servant to every man. But every man's relationship to me is not constant. It varies. For example, I can think of a sharp fellow who I got to know, become a friend. I sought to minister to him, to serve him, but he really wasn't very interested in spiritual things. I think it was primarily not willing to pay the price, problems in the home. Well, I had a certain relationship with him. I was a friend with him. But really, what did I accomplish in that man's life? Only God knows. Because there was no real man-to-man relationship in the sense that I could minister to him because he wanted help from me. And so perhaps the only ministry that I was able to have was anything that he could see of Christ in my life. All right, there's one type of a man-to-man relationship. Here's the second type. Here is a man, again, a very potential fellow. He used to come out to a Bible study group that I had. I had a ministry there, indirectly or in a group to him. But then on the man-to-man basis, there were several times that he would come for counsel because he had a particular problem. All right, here's another man-to-man relationship, counseling. Now, if I am merely one who counsels another, I don't consider I'm training him. I consider I have a ministry to this man of counsel. And if he would come to me with a problem, then I would want to hear him out. I would want to share some things from the Word, from my own experience. I would want to take this man into my heart and pray for him. I would want to follow him up on this one thing, this counseling. And then, with this fellow, after I had counseled him, I tried to move in a little bit to see if he wanted to get into the Word. If he wanted some personal help. And I noticed that he kept a good arm's length when it got to something specific about his own spiritual growth and development. He wanted help in his problems, but he didn't want to grow. He didn't want to get down to business in a systematic, disciplined sense. All right, I had a man-to-man relationship to him in counsel. It's another type. Well, here is a fellow. He came to Christ. I began to follow him up. Got him going in Bible study, a little bit of memory, in a quiet time. But I found that this fellow, though he wanted to get going in the initial things of the Christian life, he didn't want to go any farther. And I found that if I began to move in and try to force him in this, that I was going to drive him away. So I began to just help him in these simple things from time to time. Now today, this fellow is leading others to Christ. He's making an impact. And we're good friends. I don't think that his ministry will multiply to successive generations. But here's another type of man-to-man ministry. that each one of us can have. Fourth type. And let me just say this before I mention the fourth type. I believe that our goal is not to prove a method, but our goal is to improve a man. And if I am a servant, then I must adjust to the men. And I must minister to them where I can. The fourth type was a fellow who was moving along in the basics of the Christian life. He was a man of the Word. He memorized. He studied. He was consistent in his prayer life. He was out winning men to Christ. He wanted to follow them up. And we were brothers and co-laborers together. We had times together. But I wouldn't say that this fellow opened up his entire heart to me. We were close, and yet there wasn't this complete sharing of life in Christ together. Oh, we're close. There's no wall between us that I'm aware of. But this is another type of man-to-man relationship. More of a co-laborship, really, than a complete sharing of the heart together. And then fifthly, there is a type of relationship where a fellow says, I want to share my whole heart and life in Christ, and I want you to share yours with mine. The fellow who's willing to come and share his problems, his personal problems, his joys, his victories, his defeats. The type of fellow who the Lord just seems to give you a bond in Christ, a Paul and Timothy relationship, the type of fellow who wants you to be his spiritual father, so to speak. This is given of God. And this is basically what 2 Timothy 2:2 is talking about. The things that thou, Timothy, hast heard of me, Paul. There was a relationship here between these two men. Their lives were committed mutually to Christ, but they were also committed to one another. And this is the type of relationship that we really mean when we talk about man to man. This is the type of thing that we're really asking God to do and to give us when we're praying, Lord, give me a man. This type of relationship that goes through life, a mutual bond in Christ, a mutual sharing of your total life in Christ with one another, a love and comradeship that is very unique in the world today. And you know, it doesn't just end with you and the fellow that you're helping. But it is that this relationship passes on to successive generations. I'd like to share with you, men, some things that I believe help establish this relationship with a man. This Paul and Timothy relationship. And I would like to illustrate from my own life how the Lord use certain things to establish this type of relationship with others. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 10. This was the relationship that was established between Paul and Timothy. Thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. Now I can remember as a young sailor getting in contact with a fellow, another sailor. And this fellow began to help me in the Word. And there was a relationship established where we shared together everything that the Spirit of God was teaching us in the Word. This is a relationship, men, between you, the Spirit of God, and another man. Now, there are two ways in which you can share the Word. There's the way where you can sit over this person and you can begin to share with him your superior knowledge, and where he is to open his mouth and swallow it. Or there is the type of relationship in sharing the Word where you can have the fellow begin to share a few things with you that he has learned. You know, he's just getting started in Bible study and so on. And then after he shares a few of these things with you, you show your superior knowledge and you point out a few things, you know, where yes, but, or yes, but also, and so on, you see, where you just kind of squelch him. You can share the Word along these lines, or you can share the Word along another line or two. You can share in the Word about the things which you're learning concerning Christ. You can share concerning the things which the Holy Spirit is reproving and correcting and instructing you about in your life. You see, you can open your heart and your life to this man and share with him what the Spirit of God is doing in your life in relation to the Word. The promises that you're claiming. You can get down on your knees together and pray over these needs or over these promises. You can share your life in the Word with a man. Or you can just go through a bunch of motions, a bunch of knowledge. There's a difference here. I hope I'm communicating. I hope I'm making it clear. A great difference. A vast difference. Timothy fully knew Paul's doctrine. Paul shared his complete life in the Word of God with Timothy. Then there's something else. A manner of life. I remember another fellow. I can't remember anything which this fellow taught me, but I can sure remember his manner of life. I believe that our relationship together was a sharing of our life, our manner of life in Christ. I think of another fellow. Purpose. This man's purpose was Colossians 1:28. And my fellowship with this man, his purpose became my purpose. I believe that this man, he's another man the Lord has used in my life. We established a relationship where we're men of like mind and of like heart, of like vision, of like objective. And when we got together, We were talking and sharing and discussing how we could win men to Christ and how we could build up men for Christ and how this could multiply and how this could reach the world for Christ. And this was a consuming thing of our fellowship together. And as we got together, we shared our dreams, our aspirations, our goals, our objectives. We talked about the men we were trying to reach for Christ. We talked about the men we were trying to build for Christ. We discussed it. We prayed about it. We went into the Word together about it. Our hearts were beating together about this. That's the kind of relationship I'm talking about. That's the kind of man-to-man that we're trying to do. Well, these other things, yes, if that's all the farther men will go, take them as far as they will go. But ask God for this type of a man who you can share the Word together, your life together, your purpose together, and your faith together. I know of another man. We shared our faith together. And basically, our faith together was shared in two ways. We spent, when we were together, I think we probably spent more time praying together than anything. When we'd get together, this fellow, an older Christian, would take me out and say, "Doug, let's go for a walk and let's get out and pray together." I learned more of that man's faith by praying with him than any other way. But then we would sit down and you'd say, "Doug, what is the Lord putting on your heart? What are the promises of God that He's giving you?" And I would share it. And he would share the promises with me. And then he'd say, "Let's pray." And we'd pray over the promises of God. And our hearts were joined together as we exercised faith together in Christ. You see, man, this man-to-man business is not just a series of techniques or of methods. This man-to-man which we're talking about is something that involves our total spiritual life. It's something living. It's something vibrant. It's something that is hard to explain. It's hard to categorize. It's hard to put on a blackboard. It's two men together with God. Can you explain God? Can you explain the workings of God? Can you explain the workings of God in your own life or in someone else's? I can't. That's why it's hard for me. That's why in trying to prepare this message, in stumbling through the introduction and all these things, it's hard to communicate. It's like marriage. I could stand up here and I could give you men a message about marriage and about my marriage with my wife. But, you know, there's just something intangible there I can't explain. I can't put in words. And I'm not talking about the sex part of it. I'm talking about there's something intangible here. And then he shared love. And I think of another man. His life is a life that abounds in the love of Jesus Christ. And my personal relationship with him. Oh, we talked about a lot of things. We worked together. We prayed. But there's something that the love of Christ, our hearts are knit together in love. And as I think of this fellow, I think a few Christian leaders that I can say, God in such a unique way knit our hearts together in love. We don't see each other very much anymore, but maybe once every few years. But you know, when we're together, there is a relationship of the love of Christ. We're buddies. Our hearts are open to one another. We can share and talk about things together. We were just saying this when I last saw him. He says, you know, he says, I can share things with you I can't share with anybody else. And I said to myself, you know, I can share anything with this man. Because there is a relationship of love in Christ together. And as I look back over the times when I used to be with him a lot, I can't put my finger on any particular thing. There are many things I probably could bring out that are secondary. But the primary thing is God knit our hearts together in love. This relationship Paul and Timothy had. Patience. I think of another man of God who's had a real ministry in my life. And I think of the times we co-labored together and what he taught me of patience. Let's wait on the Lord. Let's look to the Lord. Let's be sure we have the Lord's mind. And the patience he's had to have with me. Patience. Well, I want to say a few more things before I wind up. Proverbs 27:19 is a verse that I think is very important in man to man. If you want to have this kind of relationship with another man, you must take the lead. As in water, face answereth to face, so the heart of man to man. If you want to have this kind of relationship with another man, then you have to take the lead in sharing your life and your needs in the Word. Your manner of life. You have to share your life with him. You have to share your purpose with him. You have to share your faith with him. You have to share your love with him. Your patience, your trials, your tribulations. You have to share them with him. You have to open your heart if you expect him to open his. You have to set the pace in this respect. Now, in spite of all of what I said, I do think that we need to have a plan. A plan in ministering to this man's life. It should be a flexible plan, not a rigid one. It should be one that can be easily adapted to different personalities and situations. It means you've got to think and pray ahead. You've got to be in communication with the Lord. They not only need confidence in your heart that you love them, they need confidence in your head that you're in communication with God. As a friend of mine said, it's not their heart I'm worried about, it's their head. And the proof of this is whether you, the Spirit of God through you, is really doing a job in this man's heart. And if for some reason a fellow is not responding to your training, take inventory on yourself. Don't begin to say, oh, he doesn't have an open heart, you know, there's something wrong with him, all this business. What is the matter with you? Our job is not to judge the other man. Our job is to ask the Spirit of God to search our hearts and see if there's anything that's wrong in our hearts or in our minds in our ministry to this man. That's our job. God has never appointed any one of us the job of a judge. He reserves that for himself. I suggest you get a prayer page or several prayer pages for one man, that you begin to list the things that you observe are needs in his life. I think that there are two ways to list needs. One is there are common needs for every Christian. We can call them the basics of the Christian life, and other things that are common needs to all Christians. And then there are unique needs that this individual has, which God has shown you. I'm not saying you've judged him. You merely made some discernment concerning areas of his life which need improvement. And then, to list areas of ministry. Areas of ministry which you want to have with this man. And then to list things which you have already covered in training this man. This becomes your prayer page for this man. Now there are three areas which I have in my mind when I want to train a man. Three areas. Or I want to build in his life. There is the area, I say, of training. This is the acquiring of a skill. And I have in my mind, and I've asked God to prepare and equip me to be able to help any man along these certain lines. For example, the line of Bible study. From simple Bible study to Bible study on his own. Scripture memory. The quiet time. From 7 minutes to God to a protracted time, a day alone with God. How to figure out prayer pages in different stages of his growth and development. Evangelism. How he can train him in effectively giving his testimony, presenting the gospel, being able to go down several roads and find needs and meet these, and show how Christ can meet these needs in a non-Christian's life. These are things that I want to be able to train a man in. How to bring a man across the line to make a definite decision. How to follow him up. How to get him started in the Word, in a reading program, in a study program, and so on. How to reproduce these things in a babe's life. Then the second thing I want to do is teaching. I want to be able to instruct this man along certain lines. The acquiring of knowledge, to ground him in the Word and in the Lord. And I have a list of 40-some things. If I made the list over again, I don't know. It might be 30, or it might be less. It might be more. I don't know. I keep changing it. But I have a list of things that I feel that every Christian should know and apply to their lives. The wheel would be included. The Lordship of Christ. The Word and growth. Evangelism, follow-up, the second coming of Christ, the work of the Holy Spirit, many of these things. Are you equipped, men, in the Word of God to be able to meet the needs of another man along these subjects? I can remember challenging a person almost 10 years ago. Along this line, and this person started a Bible study and did a little topical Bible study on each one of these subjects. And I've observed this person over 10 years now, and there are very few people I know who can more effectively teach and instruct someone along these lines and get it working in their life than this person. Because this person took the time to study it out and get equipped. And this person doesn't just sit down and say, "Now I'm going to teach you." Figures out different ways to teach. Maybe there's a little project, a little study project. Certain verses are given. They're to find others. And they get together and they discuss and share this. Maybe they works out some question and answer on it. Or maybe they just sit down and share about it. There are different ways to teach. You have to vary it. And then, thirdly, transmitting. What does this mean? 2 Timothy 2:2, Paul is telling Timothy to commit to faithful men. Commit. What does that mean? Well, it doesn't mean a imparting of light, but it means a transmission of life. What I was talking about before, and sharing your life, 2 Timothy 3:10. These virtues of Christ must be transmitted. More is caught than is taught. You can teach a man everything about evangelism. You can train him so he is able to present the gospel in a dozen different ways. You can take him out with you, and he can be skilled in every type of evangelism under the sun. But if you have not transmitted to his heart, by the mighty work of the Holy Spirit, a compassion for the lost, this man is not going to be a soul winner. He is going to drop along the wayside because there isn't this burden and compassion for the lost that must be transmitted to him. It's the same way in studying the Word. So on. Okay, lastly. Not only must I have a plan and work with this man, with this plan, and adapt it to him. Tailor make it to his needs, to his personality, to his growth, to his gifts, which only the Spirit of God can guide me in. But I must have a ministry together with this man. Jesus ordained 12 in Mark 3:14 that they might be with him and that he might send them forth to preach. And I believe you have to have a ministry which I call an ABC, the ABCs of ministry together. A standing for aggressive evangelism together. I don't believe we can effectively build in another person's life in a vacuum. We must be out in evangelism together. A stands for aggressive evangelism. B stands for Bible-centered ministry. We must be together in a Bible-centered ministry. We must be together with a group of people in Bible study, in the Word, the ministry of the Word. Not only in evangelism, but the ministry of the Word in edification. We must be joined and linked together in this ministry. And I'm speaking in these two cases from experience. I find that if you're only out in evangelism, yes, you've got a lot of activity, a lot of souls, but you don't have much depth. I find that if we are out together just in a Bible-centered ministry and we're getting everybody to study and memorize the Bible, that there's a deadness. We need to be out in aggressive evangelism plus B, a Bible-centered ministry, and plus C, the consolidation and multiplication of the fruit, which results from A and B. We must be consolidating the results and seeing that these results multiply out in aggressive evangelism, in a Bible-studied, Bible-centered ministry, and in consolidation and multiplication of the fruits of evangelism. And in doing this, I have found, and I'm having to leave the illustrations out in all of this because of time, I've found that you must delegate responsibilities to your men in ministry. You must delegate responsibilities. You have to train the men. Now, I've seen this mistake. I've seen men who delegate responsibilities, and they think that's training a man. Give him a job! And he falls on his face, or he does it wrong, or he does it 75%. and he becomes so independent and proud of his 75%, you can't convince him to do 100%. And I found the other extreme. Boy, you hold them back. You don't trust them and you don't trust God. And I thank God for a man who trusted me. I was just a young punk of a missionary, 23 years old. I had preached maybe several evangelistic messages in my life down a mission where the old drunks sit there and go to sleep on you. And this fellow was having a big evangelistic series of meeting with hundreds of people attending every night of the week, and it had built up to the great climax the last night, and I was just the fellow who was training the counselors and passing out the invitations and setting the chairs and so on. And he said, you know, he said, I got to go down to the south of the island. I want you to take the evening meeting. I looked at him. Not me. He said, well, somebody's got to take it. I'm going. Goodbye. This fellow trusted me, and he trusted God. And I could take 15 minutes telling you one thing after another. It led up, so he went to the States and put me in charge of all of the work of this organization. And I was just a young kid. But he trusted me, and he trusted God. And you know what that did for me? I began to trust the Chinese. So that when I was down and set up a big citywide crusade, and I had a Chinese fellow working with me, the second citywide crusade, why should I set it up? He'll set it up. I'll supervise him at a distance and give him all the help and backing I can, but he's going to do the job. When Billy Graham came to Formosa, why should I train the counselors? I had these two Chinese fellows who were working with me, and when I was training counselors in little deals in this church and that church, now comes a big deal. Why should I do it? Let them do it. And stand behind the scenes and hold him up in prayer and help him. Delegate responsibilities in the ministry. Work together with them, but trust God and trust them. Lastly, this is not just a man-to-man ministry, but there needs to be a band of men. You cannot adequately train a man. Even with the Spirit of God working in you and through you, God in His economy has chosen not just to use you, but to use other men. When Jesus trained Peter, there were another 11 men who were having a ministry in Peter's life. When Paul trained Timothy, there were another little band of men, a Luke, a Titus, a Silas, and so on, who were having a ministry with Timothy as they were banded together with one purpose and one cause. And I won't take the time to go into some references on that. Closing, one illustration. This summer I was talking to an old friend of mine who I knew, met before I went to Europe. He said, Doug, I want to get some time with you. I said, fine. What is it that you want? And he said, well, I just want to talk to you about a fellow that I'm following up and we're having some man-to-man ministry with him. I said, fine, well, just tell me what you're doing. And so he went into telling me some of the details of what he was doing and all. And when he finished, he said, do you have any suggestions? I looked at him and I said, no, I don't have any suggestions. Because I think you have found the heart of this whole thing. And as long as you hold to the heart of this, The Spirit of God will teach you step by step. And I couldn't help but think of 3 John, verse 5. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. And this fellow was just a fellow who loved this man and was faithful to him. He was faithful to him. He was wholehearted in helping him. He took him on his heart. He loved him. He prayed for him. He gave everything he had in Christ, was available to give to this man. And I said to Wes, I said, no, I don't think that there's much I can say, much I can contribute, because I believe you've caught the spirit and the heart of man to man. Shall we pray? Father, I do pray that you will take these things that have been of your spirit said this morning, burn them into our hearts. And I do pray, Lord, that thou would give to me a man like Timothy, and give to me a heart like Paul. And I pray this for every man in the room, that they may see disciples raised up who are fruitful and multiplying to the uttermost part of the earth, where Christ can be seen in lives and glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.